Rob McEwen, good morning. How are you?
I'm great, Andy. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome. Thank you so much for joining us here. First, let's start out with, we're at the 2025 RIC Rules Symposium, the Rules Symposium here. What's the energy like here? First, just here, is it different than other places you've been or other times that you've been? And really talk about that and really talk about where we're at. It seems like a lot of money's coming back into the mining space and also the junior mining space.
I'd say it's viral. It's infectious. This enthusiasm for what's happening in the industry. I mean, it's being propelled by the price. All right. Of a sudden, margins are appearing. There's greater interest. And it's still small, but in the metals space. Mm-hmm. And I think people are starting to think. They're looking at commodities and saying they're at a 55-year low to financial assets. Commodities are cyclical in price, and we appear to be at the bottom, and we're into the start of a new run on commodities, precious metals. And so there's an excitement about a brighter future.
Yeah, that's music to my ears, and I would agree with you. And a lot of the feedback I get that are not from people, investors that are not in this space, but they're interested, is I get, well, gold's been on a tear for a couple decades now. Is this over? Why should I get in now? And what are your thoughts on that? Where are we at, if you would, in the 9-inning baseball game? Are we in the early still innings, or are we in the later stages, middle stages, would you feel?
We're in the second inning. We're not in the ninth.
Right?
Yeah. You could start seeing momentum. I was, earlier this year, I was in Saudi Arabia. And they have a mining conference there that started 4 years ago. And the first year there was only 7,000 attendees. This year there is 27,000 attendees.
Wow.
And Saudi Arabia, I thought, was one of the first countries to realize that there's shortages occurring in the world. And the government there just had a big bear hug embrace of the mining industry. And it was very refreshing. And you're starting to see other countries going, hey, wait a minute. With all the global conflicts that are going on, the sources of supply are no longer as safe or as reliable as they were in the past. And we have to find new ones. And so there seems to be a race around the world by sovereign nations, large corporations, to try to get new sources of supply that they can rely on. In our copper project, we have the sixth largest car manufacturer in the world, Stellantis, as our second largest shareholder. And we went, talked to a number of car companies, and one thing that really surprised me, Volkswagen, when we talked to them, they said they had six geologists on staff. And you go, wait a minute, this is a car company.
Right, yeah.
So we're almost going back to the days of Henry Ford, when he went around the world and saying, well, I'm going to buy a rubber plantation in Brazil. I'm going to buy a nickel mine up in Canada. And you're looking at all of this integration.
Yeah.
And China has been very aggressive buying in Africa. And so Washington's now saying, oh, critical minerals? We better encourage that. What about copper? We're going to put a big tariff on to encourage domestic exploration and production. Mm-hmm. Because America, about half of the copper used annually is imported. So, and other countries are starting to wake up. Oh, you know, mining is usually large capital investment, mm-hmm. long-term employment, high-paying jobs, mm-hmm. and the economic multiplier is about 2 to 1. Whereas if you put a dollar into a service industry, it's about 60 cents
right.
So of economic value.
Yeah.
So people are going, well, where are we going to create employment?
Right. In mining, hopefully. And it looks like that's becoming the case from what you're telling me. So about all that in commodities, we share the same opinion that we're in the early stages of gold bull market. We're both very emotional for all the right reasons, about emotional in the sense of sound money, all of that with precious metals. But what other commodity sectors besides gold, silver, as well as copper, do you find interested in, and do you think that there are opportunities here?
I think the broad range of commodities could be foods, grains.
Why?
I agree.
Trade routes have been disrupted.
Sure.
There have been areas that are no fly zones now.
Right.
And that's the world's growing. There's lots of debt. There's people who are hungry. Asia is still building. Mm-hmm. So there are all the materials you need to construct modern civilization. And if you look at a lot of the mines that are there, there hasn't been a lot of investment in the last 15, 20 years.
Yeah.
So, and the time now to bring a new mine on is between the time to make a discovery and the discovery gets to a point that you can say it's economic, you could be looking at 15, 20 years between the discovery of the first excitement about the mineral and when it comes into production.
Right.
And the costs have gone up, inflation's here. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of restraints on jumping in immediately.
Yeah. Let's talk about, tell me about when you're allocating capital, whether it's a company here, and I know you have this huge portfolio. I've actually talked a lot with some of your companies that you're invested in. I've met them in Atlanta when they've come through and see you as an investor allocating capital. What do you look for in evaluating a project or a company? What stands out to you? What are your top few things that are going to check those boxes?
Usually, price is my first focus.
Price? Price of the commodity or the stock price?
The stock price.
Okay.
And where is the company? Is it? I like distress.
So yeah.
I like to buy things that other people don't want to buy.
Okay.
So that means they're usually at the bottom. They are having difficulty finding capital. So you usually get an attractive entry point.
Right.
Then I look at how much do the principals have invested in it? Mm-hmm. Are they all riding just on options mm-hmm. and they have no money in?
Right.
In that case, I usually say, nice to meet you, but goodbye.
Right.
I'd like to see financial commitment. You're looking at, and I'm pretty well focused on gold, silver, copper.
Right.
Not looking much beyond that, although there's lots of opportunity in there, but that's just where I focus.
Yeah.
I look at the grade.
I know. Yeah.
High grade is it's a shiny, greatest bright team. Object that I'll look at very closely. But then looking, where is it? Is there infrastructure? I have a preference right now for past producers that there's infrastructure in place. Maybe they're not in production, but we've seen the price rise considerably. Mm-hmm. So the gold that was left in the ground or the metal left in the ground has now become economic.
Yeah. How do people find these companies? I'm not saying give away your secret sauce, but what would you recommend to our viewers and listeners looking for that? Do they just start writing a list of their favorite companies and then just calling the CEO? Or, because this can be overwhelming to new people that want to get in the space, starting that evaluation process.
Well, I probably have a little easier because I just say, my door's open, come and tell me a story.
Right?
And
you're really good at that too, the feedback I get from a lot of companies out on the road.
So it's just inviting stories to come in. And I remember in the early days, you'd see some people come in and their presentations were outrageous and really highly promotional. And I thought, oh, I just can't listen to this. It's too much. Yeah. And then I had this epiphany and I went, some of these people, they're always digging and they're always pushing and they often find something.
Right.
So I have to listen to it, even though my first reaction is, no, this is too much. This is too promotional.
Yeah.
So I try to listen to as many stories as I can. So how would an individual do that? They could probably run some screens on their just sort and say, all right, who decide where you want to be. Do you want to be in America? Do you want to be through the Americas? Would you like to be in Europe, Africa?
Yeah.
What's your tolerance?
Mm-hmm.
And where, once you figure that out, do you want to be in a junior or do you want to be a senior? Like a lot of people say, well, I want exposure to gold. Well, you could go to a senior and get a dividend, mm-hmm. and they'll have lots of cash. They haven't performed quite as well as some of the juniors, but you'll sacrifice that for a little more comfort.
Mm-hmm.
The junior sector can be a lot more speculative and volatile.
Right.
But so let's do our search. You could come to a show like this, Rick Rule's show, or others, mm-hmm. and wander around.
I mean,
you might feel at times it's like, not here, but I know the PDAC in Toronto, Prospectors and Developers Convention. Mm-hmm. It's a very big one. I've often told people, well, just put a bag over your head, walk down the aisles, and every booth you stop at, you'll hear the same story.
Right, right.
We've got a new deposit, lots of gold, it's high grade.
We're going to the moon.
We're going to the moon.
Yeah, yeah.
That doesn't really help you.
Right, right.
But you want to get a flavor. There's some good market letter writers out there. And I think you just have to wander a bit till you get comfortable.
Yeah, I agree. I think you just got to put yourself out there and just start taking in information and then filter out that information with whatever criteria you use. Let me ask you this quickly. Is there a place, what are your favorite jurisdictions, if you have any? And you might not want to answer this, but is there any places you wouldn't go because of instability, regulation, or whatever?
Russia has a lot of resources, but I'm not going there.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know any of the stands. Africa, when I first got into business, I invested heavily in South Africa, mm-hmm. but that's changed. Mm-hmm. It's a very rich, mineral-rich continent, but I've stayed away from there. I like Nevada because of the province. I like Northern Ontario and other parts of Canada. I'm in Argentina. It's been a bit of a trial, but we have a new president down there that's straightened things out.
Yeah.
Brazil has a huge history of mining. So I'm confined to the Americas right now.
Yeah.
North and South America. But, and Australia has a very big history and had some great finds out there.
And I mean,
the South Pacific has been an area that's had a number of booms and has some big, big mines. You can think of Freeport and Grasberg's giant mine, copper
Goldberg.
So I wouldn't deny them. It's just, I look at it and go, how much time do I have to think about all of these?
Right, right.
And, you know, everybody has a fixed amount of money.
Yeah.
To deploy. And for me right now, we've got development projects in Canada, in Nevada, in Argentina.
I own one of your projects, or you, I don't want to say project, companies invested in Nevada, Borealis.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Okay, well, the elements there was a former producer.
Yeah.
Infrastructure's already in place.
Yeah.
Physical plant there.
Yes, all right.
Higher price gold.
Yeah.
And a very talented person running it.
Kelly.
Yes. So I thought, and it was ignored in the market. So.
Yeah.
And I guess it was, there was a block of stock that was available.
Yeah.
At a price, so I bought it. But I would say right now, it's looking at former producers. I mean, one of the big delays in going from a discovery to production is getting a permit.
Right.
And the attendant costs of putting the road in, putting the power in, visiting the physical plant, and that's all that takes time. So you want to be able to get a head start in the game. And by having someone already done all that work earlier,
right,
and you can inject yourself, you can see some of the majors selling recently. Discovery Silver bought Newmont's Porcupine assets. And so many people looked at it and said, look, there's too much environmental liability. They've been mining there for 100 years. Mm-hmm. But Tony Makuch did, I thought, a fabulous deal. He didn't put up any money. Gave away some stock, cheap stock, and got a lot of money from Franco, Nevada, and a timed payment of
unfair,
basically debt.
Yeah.
But those are, and you find times when the majors seem to not believe the price of metals going higher. So you had Newmont selling, you had Barrick selling, Anglo selling assets. And that's not a bad time to buy because they've spent a lot of money on these properties.
Right.
And they're not believers. It reminds me a lot in the earlier cycle where the majors were all hedging. And you go, you're running a giant gold company, you're talking about gold in glowing terms, but you don't believe in the future.
Right, right, yeah.
And you're selling, you're capping your future. And that gets me into royalties and streams where I think the people who sell those are, they didn't take math in school and they don't believe in the future.
Well, let's talk about that because that's been a, they've really come on the scene probably the last, I don't know, 5 to 10 years or whatever. And it, one of the things I'm beginning to think of with them, the margins are so low in that model. Is there really money there, if you would, in royalties?
Well, they don't have operational issues.
Right.
They don't have government issues, unless the government takes over the business they have a royalty. But it's certainly been a, it's a derivative product that has got a lot of investors attracted to it because you don't have all the attendant issues of that miners face.
Right.
And you're just taking cash right off the top.
Right.
So it's not a bad product for investors, but I do think that companies selling streams and royalties are giving away a lot of the upside. And they might argue, well, it's, there's a byproduct. I'm selling the silver and I'm a gold miner.
Right.
And it was an easier place to raise money. Mm-hmm. And they said it's non-dilutive. And I said, yes, you're not issuing more shares, but you're giving away your resilience if the price goes down. And you're giving away the upside, certain portion of it.
Yeah.
Now, I have to say that I do own some royalties.
I do too.
And I did, when we took our copper assets and put it into a sub, McEwen Copper, I put a royalty on the copper project and held it by the parent.
So you saw the value.
Well, I just thought, as we finance our copper project, our ownership interest is going to drop. But it's a very long life asset, low cost, or thought to be a low cost asset at some point. And I want it to be, have part of that income stream.
Yeah. So I guess, and we'll end with this, is what would you tell, again, one thing or two things that you would tell the general public or whatever, what piece of advice to somebody really, not a tenured person in the space, but a piece of advice you get to somebody like my daughter who's coming in, what's the one thing you would tell her to get experience or just to be as exposure for this, these kind of things?
If you saw the price appreciation that the tech sector went through, you're going to see something like that in the precious metal space.
Music to my ears. That's great. Rob McEwen, you are a legend, and I say that with humility, and you probably don't like to hear that because you're such an approachable guy. I'm very grateful that you're so approachable. I want to thank you. You've had a great impact on my family and in the mining space, so thank you for that. If people want to invest with your companies, how do they go about doing that, finding more about you? I just want to lay that out there. How do they do that?
Well, our symbols, MUX, New York, and Toronto.
Okay.
We just changed our name from McEwen Mining to McEwen, well, McEwen Mining Inc. to McEwen Inc.
Got it.
But the same symbol. You can go online, all our presentations are on there.
Mountainous.
And we're a fairly liquid trader. In New York, we traded average about 800,000 shares a day over the last 3 months, daily average. We have 51 million in cash right now. We have some debt we put on. I bought did a convertible debenture, what's called a cap call convertible debenture. And we were able to sell shares, our conversion price, 90% above where our share price was, so reduce the need to issue shares. Got projects through the Americas and got a giant copper option. No, it's just, I own 15% now, have over 200 million invested, take a dollar a year in salary.
Family loans.
And I'm expecting it to go much higher.
Well, I will put all of this contact, the website, this ticker symbol, in all of the show notes on YouTube, Spotify, and Apple Podcasts. Rob, it was an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much
Andy,
for your time.
Indeed. Thank you.
Absolutely. Take care.